Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good, thanks.
Good to be back with you.
It's always good to be here on Sunday night doing the show and studying the Word. And
amen.
Yeah. So tonight we're going to talk about...
Amen, brother.
Amen, brother. Yeah. That's good. I was just telling somebody the other night at a home group that the one good thing about having a whole bunch of believers together is if you can't remember some guy's name, you can say, hey, brother, how you doing?
That is true.
Anyway, sister doesn't quite sound right, but
no,
I guess that's okay.
It's okay. It would be okay. It'd be, brothers and sisters.
Anyway.
It's acceptable.
Yeah, we're all adopted children, you know.
Exactly.
I think that's in my favorite book.
See, but Romans. If you went up to somebody and said, hey, adopted child.
Yeah, that would be weird.
That would be weird. Yeah.
That's in Romans 8, you know, which happens to be my favorite book. But anyway, tonight we're not going to do Romans.
We're not?
No.
Oh.
We're going to do John's gospel. We're going to talk about open graves. We're going to talk about people rising from graves. You know, Ezekiel talked about it, you know. God says to his people, you know, I'm going to open your graves and have you rise from them.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. And there's a lot of prophetic stuff there. And tonight we're actually going to do the story. Well, I shouldn't say it's a story, but tonight we're going to do the gospel that everybody pretty much knows about Lazarus being raised from the dead.
Yes.
Everybody knows that, but, you know, we're going to have Stephen read it anyway, because it's good to read the word before you start to dissect it.
Exactly.
Because it's good to get into the word and get the word into you. And just hearing a commentary about it isn't good. You got to read the actual word so that it penetrates you.
That is true.
And, you know, if you check out 2 Timothy 3:16, you hear about how all spirit is God breathed because it's the living, breathing word of God through the Holy Spirit that kind of penetrates you as you read it. So
exactly.
Always good to read it. But this is an awesome gospel with, of course, a lot of lessons like every passage of scripture has. We could do like another 9-part series on this, but we're not going to. So just, Stephen, why don't you read, this is in John 11.
Okay.
Is it 1 through 45?
It's 1 through 45.
All right.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried her feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Master, the one you love is ill. When Jesus heard this, he said, This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. He said this, and then told them, Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him. So the disciples said to him, Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved. But Jesus was talking about his death. Well, they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him. So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go to die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise. Martha said to him, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, secretly saying, The teacher is here and is asking for you. As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would have not died? So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, Untie him and let him go. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him.
Mm, wow. Great story.
It is.
Well, this is in Bethany. Bethany was right outside of Jerusalem. You know, the Bible kind of gives you the idea that it's a ways away, but It's actually at the base of the Mount of Olives. It's right across the Kidron Valley from the eastern side of the city. Mm-hmm. And there isn't anything left of it now, but it's thought to be, I think it's the southeast corner, lower corner of the Mount of Olives. And it was a small village. And from there, you would have been able not only to see the old city, but you would have seen the temple kind of just rising up literally before your eyes, because the temple was almost right against the eastern wall. Mm. And Jesus used to stay there a lot. And when he went to Jerusalem for the feasts, he used to stay there. He used to stay in Bethany. He always went back to the Mount of Olives. You know, if you read so many of the scriptures, it says Jesus never stayed in the city.
Yeah.
He always went up back to the Mount of Olives, you know, Slept maybe at their house, slept outside, you know. But he was always going there. And when this story starts, it says he had gone beyond the Jordan. So he was out in the wilderness with his guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other side of the Jordan, it was, you know, it's pretty desolate there, desert. And somehow these sisters got a messenger to him, which, you know, would have been a little bit of a walk from Jerusalem. And it's interesting that the messenger says, the one who you love is sick.
Mm-hmm.
So they know Jesus has this very good relationship with this guy, Lazarus. And They're very close friends. It's not some casual acquaintance that he knew. You know, he has stayed there. They've had time together. And he says, the messenger says, the one who you love is sick. Now, It's interesting. So Jesus, as the God-man, did he know this was going on? You know, he probably knew that this was going to happen, knew This was going to be a miracle, knew this was going to be a sign and a wonder for all the people. So the divine Jesus, of course, would have known what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Human Jesus, you know, would have been kind of tuned into it, probably knew this. And it's interesting that if he did know it, the messenger told him, you know, God knows everything that's going on, but he wants us to lay out our petitions before him. You know, he wants us to ask him for things.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to communicate with him. He wants us to, he wants to hear from us. You know, it's okay to say to God, you know, I don't understand what's going on. Like, why is this happening to me? I don't get it.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, he's your father. You're an adopted son or daughter. And it's okay to say to your parent, I don't get what's going on here.
Right.
You know, you don't have to talk to him just, you know, when bad things happen. You can talk to him and say, hey, thank you, Lord, for this. And I'm really happy about this, but I don't really like this. I don't know why this is going on. Mm-hmm. You know, he's okay with that. So interestingly, you know, we lay out, this messenger tells him that, and he immediately says, this sickness is for God's glory.
Right.
So this is pretty cool. So he knows what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the blind man we talked about last week.
Right.
Now, why is this guy blind? Well, it's to show God's glory. It's nobody's sin. It's not his sin, not his parents' sin. It's God's glory. And interestingly, too, last week or a couple weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man more than any other title.
Right.
But here he refers to himself as the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he would have known this was going on. I mean, he's talking from, you know, a divine authority position here.
Right.
He said, you know, the Son of God is going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, you know, the Son of Man, or let me get some more information on this and maybe we should go over there. He says, the Son of God is going to do this. And interestingly, he stays there two more days.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you call paramedics.
So his response time was really slow.
Yeah. I mean, when you call paramedics because somebody's really sick, they come racing to your house.
Right.
But Jesus stays there for two more days.
Two more days.
Doesn't go rushing over there. Doesn't say to his disciples, hey, we got to get over there as fast as possible.
Right.
He stays there two more days, and that's for a reason.
And, you know, we learn from the story that, or the account of this, you know, this story that Lazarus was already dead for 4 days. So had Jesus still left at the, you know, the time where he got the news, it would have been, he would have been dead for 2 days already.
Yeah.
So, and you bring up what we talked about last week about the man born blind,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus tells them this is for God's glory. You know, this sleep that Lazarus is in, this death that he's experienced, is not permanent right now. He's going to be raised. And it's, you know, it shows us when Jesus calls and he says, Father or Abba, Daddy.
Yeah.
You know, he's asking his father for Lazarus to be raised.
Yeah.
And was it,
and he does this purpose, you know, he stays there. So he knows that this is going to be such a miraculous thing that this man's going to be raised from the dead.
Right.
It's not going to be the cure of an illness. It's not going to be like the blind man regaining his sight. He delayed so that Lazarus would die and be buried.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
And it's interesting, you know, Thomas is in this story as well.
Oh, yeah.
And we
know
Thomas is the one who doubted that they saw Jesus risen from the dead.
That's right.
You know, and that's going to happen a lot later in the biblical accounts. But Thomas is there and, you know, he says, let us go die with him.
Yeah.
So they really don't, the resurrection from the dead is something that they really don't have a full understanding of.
Yeah.
Because there was no resurrection from
the dead. That's right. That's right. They had never seen it happen.
They have never seen it happen.
The concept of the afterlife, you know, in Jewish times at this time was pretty vague.
Right.
You know, when Messiah comes, you know, they believed like what the woman at the well said. When Messiah comes, he's going to teach us what's happening.
Right.
Right now, we're not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's righteous dead people that are in some place, and there's horrible dead people that are probably in some bad place.
Right.
But we don't know exactly what's going on.
But when Jesus began performing all these miracles, people had not been delivered from demon possession.
Exactly.
People had not been, you know, delivered from their, you know, being born blind or their eyes opened or the healing from a sickness. And even raised from the dead. So all these signs and wonders are starting to take place.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is performing all these signs and wonders.
That's right.
Not so that there's a bunch of people going, hey, let's go and follow Jesus so that we can see some really cool things.
Yeah, exactly.
But so that God's glory would be revealed.
Yeah, exactly. And this delay there, I mean, you can imagine Mary and Martha are probably there going, Where's Jesus? Jesus better get here before he dies. Oh, yeah. He already died. Oh, now we got to bury him.
Yeah.
Man, Jesus hasn't even shown up yet. We don't know. When's he coming? But, you know, he purposely delays. And then when he says, okay, now let's go. Now, since Bethany's right outside of Jerusalem, it's in the land of Judah, it's in Judea, he just left there because the Pharisees were threatening him.
Mm-hmm.
So our friend Thomas, you know, he's always called the doubting Thomas.
Right.
So when you meet him in heaven and he says, well, I'm Thomas, you go, I don't believe it. But anyway, see how he likes it. Anyway, so, you know, this fear is pretty fresh in their minds. I mean, they're scared.
Right.
You know, they had just like beaten feet out of the city a few days earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And now he wants to go back. So Thomas says, okay, I guess we might as well go die with him. You know, yeah. I guess we better go in there. And it was pretty funny because they were more afraid of what was going to happen than they were trusting in Jesus's power.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, again, like we always talk about on our show, it's a very human thing.
Right.
Well, you know, this guy Jesus, he seems to be pretty powerful, but, you know, those guys want to kill us.
Right.
Maybe we better not go back there.
Well, you see the human condition that Jesus dealt with for 3 years,
yeah,
of the 12 disciples.
Yeah.
And the other people that were following him,
yeah,
you know, that as human beings, even they had trouble mm-hmm. trusting.
Sure.
They're seeing all sure. these signs and wonders, and yeah. yet they're having trouble
yeah.
trusting
exactly.
and believing 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
this is him.
Yeah, and this is why he's even talking about, like, you work during the day. You know, he's the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can work now because I'm here. I'm the light. You know, if you guys go stumbling around in the dark, you know, you're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to hit your feet on stuff because we stumble around in darkness. And, you know, in the darkness, there's weakness and there's temptation and there's fear. You can be walking in the wrong direction and not even know it. But when you're with Jesus, he's the light. Mm-hmm. So when he says, okay, let's go to Judea. When you understand he's the light of the world, you say, we're going to Judea. I'm sure it's going to be fine. Not, ooh, I don't know. You sure you want to go over there? It's pretty scary.
Right.
And, you know, then he tells him, our friend. So these guys must have known him too. You know, he right. calls Lazarus. He says, our friend is sleeping.
Right.
First, you know, the guy, messenger says, the one who you love is sick. Now he says, our friend Lazarus is asleep. So the apostles knew this guy.
Mm-hmm.
They had probably hung out with him too. And they didn't get the idea that he had died.
Right.
They say, well, if he's asleep, I mean, so what?
Well, it's interesting that Jesus says he's sleeping.
Yeah.
When in fact he had died.
That's right. That's interesting.
Because we know humanly that if you're asleep,
yeah,
well, you're going to wake up.
That's right. And the death of believers, you know, is different than the death of non-believers. Mm-hmm. Lazarus is still living somewhere, even though he's dead.
Right.
You know, believers are living, well, non-believers are living somewhere too, but believers are living somewhere and they're dead.
Right.
In fact, the ancient Greeks used to call cemeteries the same word as dormitories because those people are just there sleeping.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, and interestingly about this business with friends, you know, in John 15:15, Jesus said, I call you friends. You know, he called Lazarus a friend. He says, our friend.
Mm.
So they had, not only did they have this good relationship, but they had a discipleship thing as well.
Right.
So, ooh, I hear Paul Wilbur.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is he here?
No,
he's just not his here. Music, okay.
Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
When they see the house of the Lord, run into his peaceful kingdom, shouting they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Wash us with the spirit of burning, let your beautiful fruit shine forth. Everyone who's left inside will be called holy forevermore. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord.
Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Arise and shake the earth so mightily, send your glory all across the land. Then everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the Son of Man. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Over all the glory, there will be a covering. Cloud and smoke all through the day, flaming fire all through the night. Tabernacle for the shade, shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, the Lord my God is a fire.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Awesome song, Isaiah 2. Anyway, Isaiah, my favorite prophet. Anyway.
He is?
Yes, 66 chapters. Anyway.
I thought Romans
this is interesting, your...
oh.
to favorite book, but he's my favorite prophet.
Okay, that's, I got it. Okay.
And he wasn't whiny like Jeremiah. An interesting thing, too, here, we're talking about Lazarus. The interesting thing here, too, is no one came to tell Jesus Lazarus had died. He knew he had died.
Right.
So this is a very interesting, you know, like you see different times in Jesus' life where he knows something. He says he doesn't know something. Now, you know, now he knows Lazarus is dead.
Right.
Nobody has to come and tell him.
It is interesting that just by that he knows that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really say how he knows that.
Yeah. And Jesus could have raised him from the dead from where he was.
That is true.
You know, he could have just said, Lazarus, get up, and Lazarus would have got up.
Right.
He could have even moved the stone from where he was. But it's interesting that he wanted to be there in person, you know,
mm-hmm.
which was cool. I mean, this was the perfect time where you see the miracle happen. You see him there. You know, he's the resurrection and the life. He calls him by name, and he comes out of the grave.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
And it's that God is glorified in it.
Yes.
You know, and we know that from the account of the centurion.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus healed the centurion's servant at a distance.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yet God was still glorified because.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there's something good about being in person. You know, in the first chapter of Romans, which is my favorite book, Paul says, I can't wait to get there to pray with you and impart some spiritual gift to you. You know, he could have prayed for them from Corinth, but he wanted to be there in person to pray with them. You know, Jesus wanted to be there in person to call him out of the grave.
Exactly.
So now the disciples, they say, oh, Well, if he's asleep, we don't have to go back there. It's scary back there. He'll just wake up. He'll be okay. Let's, you know, if he gets a good 8 hours of sleep, maybe he'll just, you know, recover from his illness and everything will be okay. So then, you know, he has to tell him, dude, he's dead. Well, he's gotta be plain. He died. He's not sleeping. He died. You know, that they didn't kind of get this. You know, the Old Testament has a lot of language which kind of, you know, talks about death as sleep. You know, God says, you know, when you sleep with your fathers, you know, then Abraham's, you know, then, you know, so-and-so slept with their fathers.
Right.
You know, it means they died. And he's using that same imagery. So he tells them plainly, because they don't get it, okay, he's dead. So he says, let's go to him. You know, he says, let's go to him. He doesn't say, let's go over and comfort the sisters. He doesn't say, let's go over to Martha and Mary's house so we can talk with them. He says, let's go to him, to Lazarus, because death doesn't separate us from him. You know, just because Lazarus physically died, you know, he's still known to God as a living being.
Exactly.
You know, when we're laying in the funeral home in our casket, you know, we're not there in the casket in that body. We're someplace else.
Right.
And all our loved ones and friends might be there saying, oh, man, you know, he looks really good for being dead. He looks better than he looked before. But, you know, you're still alive somewhere. Jesus knows Lazarus is alive. Lazarus is not dead to him.
Right. You know, and if you've ever been, well, if you've been to a funeral service, there is a statement that's mostly always read from Scripture where it says, and we do not grieve like those who have no hope.
Yes.
Because we know that the Lord is risen.
Yeah.
You know, for someone who has no belief in God, death is it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, once you're dead, well, that's it.
Once you're dead, you're dead.
Time's run out. Your clock has expired. You're
that's
gone.
That's right.
But for those who believe in God, in Jesus Christ as his son, and as the Redeemer, as my Redeemer, we hope in the resurrection because Jesus is the first fruits of those who have risen from the dead.
Exactly.
Now, he raised Lazarus from the dead to reveal to them and to show them God's glory. And they began to believe in him. They began to believe in him by seeing these signs and wonders.
That's right.
And later on, Jesus is going to say, well, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. That's us.
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't see Jesus perform these miracles. But still, through the power of the Spirit, through God's glory, we still see people healed today of illness, of physical ailments. And even raised from the dead.
We've seen quite a few of those.
Yeah.
Not raised from the dead, but we've seen quite a few
seen anybody
physical healings.
But I've seen many physical healings,
And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, finally they get the idea that he's dead. They're not really crazy about going back to Judea. But, you know, our friend Thomas kind of says, well, okay, I guess if, you know, if they're going to kill him, we might as well go die with him. You know? And it's funny that when you quoted that scripture that, of course, is actually like the week after Easter where he says, blessed are those who have not seen and believed. You know, he's talking to Thomas.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, Thomas is another interesting character, but we could talk about him all day, too. So they get to Bethany. Now, remember, Bethany, right outside Jerusalem. These Pharisees, these scribes, these learned people that wanted to kill Jesus were right on the other side of a wall. And if they would have had binoculars, they would have seen these guys walking into Bethany. It's not very far away. You can see it. And, you know, this is a miracle that's, you know, going to take place right outside the city. You know, Jesus did most of his miracles in Galilee. Most of his miracles were in Galilee. There were some in Jerusalem. And this is one that's kind of like right outside of Jerusalem. And here you see kind of the mourning, M-O-U-R, not mourning like the sun mourning, but mourning customs of the Jews of the time. You know, they had people there wailing and crying and whining. And, you know, growing up, I grew up in an Italian culture. And boy, when someone died, there were like people all around the funeral home and at the person's house. And boy, there were like wailing and crying and grieving. I mean, it was kind of like this unbelievable thing where everybody turns out, and not only are Mary and Martha there grieving, but there's like a whole crowd of people, like all their friends are there and their other relatives. And he's at this point 4 days in a tomb.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jewish thought was, now they didn't know anything about biochemistry or physiology or bacteriology or, you know, what happens to living things when they die, which isn't a pretty sight. But the Jewish thought was that after 3 days, so starting with the fourth day, the body would start to decompose. And that's one of the reasons that Jesus died, rose on the third day. So he would not, his body would not undergo corruption.
Right.
So by Jewish thought, corruption started on the fourth day. So this is an important number here. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. So when you told a person of the time, you know, this guy's been in the tomb for 4 days, they would immediately say, oh, just like the sister said, oh, there's going to be a stench.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he's decomposing. I mean, this is a guy who's definitely dead now. And not only is he dead, but he is decomposing. Mm-hmm. So this was a very important number. And it's interesting, Jesus kind of, you know, he comes and grieves with the sisters. You know, the verse Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the scripture.
Jesus wept.
Right. You know, he was so moved by the grief of these people that were there and the fact that Lazarus was his friend, that even though he's the God-man, you know, with 100% divine nature and 100% human nature, he's moved by this emotion and he actually weeps because everybody's so sad that this guy had died.
Right. He shows the emotion.
Yeah.
That sometimes I think we forget that God has emotions.
Mm-hmm.
He made us just like himself.
That's right.
He has, you know, our emotions are a gift from God that we can fully experience life in all of its fullness.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's good times or bad times.
Yeah.
Happy or sad.
That's right.
Joy or sorrow. So, and a lot of times in our cultures today, we want to minimize those things.
Yeah.
We like the happy stuff, but we don't want the sad stuff. So we want to eliminate the sad things.
Sure.
And it takes away really what it means to fully be human.
Yes.
Because going through
a
period of grieving or sorrow.
Yes.
Really helps me to understand and have empathy for the next mm-hmm. person that may have to go through it and to bring comfort to them.
Yeah.
And so as, you know, as we're reading this story, you know, Lazarus is in the tomb. He's dead because of sin,
mm-hmm.
because of the curse of sin.
All men sin, therefore all men die.
Right. On all humanity. And he's bound in these burial cloths.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
not coming out by himself.
Right. He can't get out of them. He's bound by these burial cloths. And when he comes out, he still has them on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jesus says, untie him.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you look at this in the context of what Jesus came to do,
mm-hmm.
to release prisoners, those who are in bondage.
Yeah.
Bondage to sin.
And to conquer death.
Mm-hmm. To conquer sin and death. So we have a really a real full picture,
mm-hmm.
if you will,
of
how Jesus comes to set us free from the burial clause of death.
Yeah.
The burial clause of sin.
Yeah.
And to raise us to new life.
I like that. That's great. And then, you know, when he's coming, you know, he doesn't go right into the place right away. Martha runs out to meet him, which is pretty neat. Because, you know, when he's not near, you know, we want to be with him even more. We want him back even more.
Right.
You know, in the Song of Songs, there's a couple of fantastic passages where, you know, the bride doesn't know where the groom went, doesn't know where her lover went. And he says, I want him back. I want him back.
Mm-hmm.
Martha runs to meet him. She's anticipating his coming. Even though she thinks like, well, he came kind of late, but now I'm really glad he's here.
Right.
And she goes to meet him. You know, like we always need to run out to meet him. And like you say, when we're in a grieving situation, when we're down in a terrible situation, we need to run out and meet him, because that's when you really need him even more. When we're in a happy situation, it's easy to go meet him.
Right.
Say, oh boy, Lord, I'm really in a good mood today. but when you're grieving, you need to run out and meet him. Mary stayed in the house. See, this is kind of like the opposite of before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before Mary was listening to him, Martha was cooking and saying, look, my sister's not helping me. Now Martha runs out. Mary's with the, you know, the mourners and, you know, crying with them. And Martha runs out. And first she kind of complains about the delay a little bit. Well, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Where you been?
Right.
You know, it's like, we told you like days ago.
Right.
He was dying. Cause she believed in his power. The fact that she could say, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She knew that he had power.
Exactly.
And exactly. knew that had the power of life and death, knew that he had the power even to raise somebody from the dead.
So Martha's the one coming out to greet him.
Yeah.
And not saying, Lord, you know, gosh, what took you so long?
Yeah.
Why are you here? He's gone now.
Yeah.
You might as well just continue on your journey.
Yeah.
She doesn't say any of that.
No, that's right. She corrects herself pretty quickly. And says, then she expresses hope and says, like, even now that you're here, you know, God will hear you.
Right.
In other words, I think you can still do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she believes in his power.
Right.
Okay, you weren't here to prevent him from dying, but even now you will be able to fix this situation, even though the situation is unfixable. When somebody's been dead for 4 days, you can take them to Cleveland Clinic. You can take them to Mayo Clinic, and nobody's going to be able to restore their life, no matter how good of a doctor you have. I mean, it's done. But she says you're going to be able to help him. She appeals to, you know, she makes a petition to his compassion and his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't even really know what he's going to do, but she knows that he can do it. So when he talks about, you know, he's the resurrection and the life, you know, he's responding to that. You know, he's showing his sovereign power. He's saying, I have sovereign power. I'm the fountain of life. And he wanted Martha to know that he can do this. Just like she says, well, I think you can do this even now. He says, I'm the resurrection of life. I can do this right now.
And it's interesting, not only does Martha ask him in this way or make a statement in this way? I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like the woman at the well.
Yeah.
Well, he will be. You know, the Messiah will come
and
he will teach us everything, you know.
Yeah.
And then Jesus tells her, I am the resurrection and the life.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he told the woman at the well, I am the living water.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly. Good parallel.
And he, you know, as you said, Martha does say, Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
But I know that God hears you. I know you can still do it. I know that God will, that whatever you ask God, God will give you.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, like the blind man.
Yeah.
Who, they, you know, the Pharisees ask him, who is he?
Mm-hmm.
He's a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, he's in sin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's in sin, but I know what I can see.
Yeah, that's right.
And we know that God doesn't answer sinners in that manner.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'm paraphrasing, but it's, you know, if we look at this from our own human perspective of Martha's there saying, Lord, I know that God's going to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary's like, I've seen you work miracles before.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't you here?
Yeah.
So Mary doubt, you know, Mary's has a little bit of doubt now.
Yeah.
And Martha's the one. Who
That's
is,
right. They're opposite.
Yeah.
Their roles are opposite again.
Exactly.
And you know, as the resurrection and the life, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, she's not really comforted by, oh, I know he's going to rise again on the last day. That's going to be like thousands of years from now. But, you know, when he says, I'm the resurrection and the life, if he can raise everyone from all ages from the dead in terms of their body, he certainly can raise one guy who's been dead for 4 days.
Exactly.
So this is, you know, not a big stretch, because he's our rock of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And he, this is not, He's there to show her this power. Ooh, this is good too. Remember, check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org. We're going to listen to Paul Wilbur. We'll be back in just a minute.
Waiting for you to pass by. You placed your hand over his face. In your presence, he wouldn't die. And on this trial, saw your glory, and it shines down through. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. Then gird up my legs, I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord, your power and your grace. I will make it to the end. Just see your face. David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. In a manger, Messiah was born. Amongst kings and some peasants. And all Israel saw the glory, and it shines down. In this holy place.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So Jesus, the resurrection and the life, he tells Martha. So he also implies that, you know, he's the resurrection and the life.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, there are some people that are the resurrection and the life, and I'm one of them.
Right.
Since I'm the resurrection and life, he's the only way to the new life. You know, in Hebrews it says he's the author and finisher of the faith. You know, and Paul writes to Timothy that he's the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, this is the new covenant. And, you know, it's you have to believe this while you're alive. You know, Lazarus, you know, knew him very well and believed probably a lot of things about him. But after you're dead, you can't, you know, you're going to know what's true after you're dead, but it's going to be too late.
Right.
You got to believe it while you're alive. And we know that we have to live for him and with him, and that's how we have life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your physical life will eventually die, no matter whether you're a believer or not a believer. You know, just because you're a believer, it's not like some people will try to explain to you that if you are a believer, you know, you'll live a long, much longer, much healthier life than somebody who's not a believer. That's mm-hmm. not true. You know, many of the great saints of history have died at very young ages or have been martyred. You know, I don't know how the prosperity preachers deal with martyrdom, but that's not, you know, that doesn't quite fit into their prosperity gospel. But, you know, despite this physical death, which now is decay, you know, a glorious body is going to rise from it. Our bodies are all going to be glorified at the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus asks her if she believes this.
Mm-hmm.
He says, do you believe this? And she says that she does. I mean, she has accepted everything that he has just said. You know, so she's understanding what he said, believing what he said, and that he has the authority to say it. She believes it. This is her confession.
Exactly.
It's like a three-part confession. You know, he's the Christ, he's the Son of God, and he came into the world, you know, she says
mm-hmm.
that in that verse. That's really cool. So if he is the Christ, if he is the Son of God who's come into the world, he's got the power to raise this guy from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So now she goes and calls her sister, which is kind of cool. Mary's still in the house, you know, wailing with everybody. And, you know, she goes and tells Mary, you know, Jesus is calling you. The master wants you to come.
Right.
You know, so this is kind of like, you know, she wants her sister to share in this. It's kind of like an evangelization, but she wants to bring her sister into this fellowship with him and calls him teacher, you know, rabbi. She calls him teacher, you know, calls him master.
Mm.
You know, he's known as the teacher.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're humble and they're submissive to this. And as they go to the tomb, you know, we have this short verse, Jesus wept. It says he groaned in his spirit as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he's inwardly affected because this guy has died.
Yeah.
And again, in the book of Hebrews, which I think is my favorite book, it says, you know, we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. So when one of our loved ones dies, and we're grieving,
mm-hmm.
Jesus, as the God-man and as the high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses, he understands how we feel. He felt bad that his friend Lazarus had died.
Exactly, exactly. And Jesus weeps because of the loss of his friend Lazarus, mm-hmm. but also at the outpouring of emotion that the love that all these other people have for their friend
yes.
as well.
Yes. That's right.
And it's not just Jesus's emotion of, oh gosh, my friend Lazarus has died.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the other people that he knows there,
yeah.
that there's relationships with that affect the whole community,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole gathering of people that mm-hmm. are there as they're mourning the loss of their friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the same for us today. When we mourn the loss of a loved one or the loss of a friend, certainly we hope in the resurrection
yeah.
and we believe in the resurrection,
yeah.
but there's still the physical loss that we go through, the emotional loss
mm-hmm.
that we as humans have to deal with.
Yeah.
And you know, and if we're not, if we don't deal with it and process it in a healthy way, it can affect us negatively.
That's right.
You know,
sure. And as we always say, Jesus is true man. You know, he's 100% man, 100% God, with no mixture or confusion of the two natures. So here you have his humanity reacting to this before his divine action is done. He groans and he weeps. I mean, if you know somebody really well and you're at the hospital and somebody comes and tells you he just died, you may do kind of a groan and you go, oh, you know, you may walk into a funeral home and go, oh, just seeing the person in the casket, if it's somebody that you know really well. And he does a typical human reaction is he weeps. You know, Isaiah 53 says he's acquainted with grief. You know, he saw people die all his earthly life. You know, he saw Joseph, Saint Joseph, his foster father, die. Presumably, right. Joseph isn't around after the account of Jesus being 12 years old, being found in the temple. You never hear about Joseph anymore. Right. So he probably died when Jesus was a teenager. And, you know, he saw plenty of other people die. And the people there say, wow, this is so amazing. Look how much he loved his friend.
Yeah.
And they knew there was something special about him, and he was weeping. And then they speculate, wow, if he'd have been here, could he have kept Lazarus from dying? There's like this speculation.
Exactly.
So then he tells him, move the stone. Now, if this is a rotting body and he's in a little cave with a stone, they move the stone, people would have smelled the body if they were close enough.
Yes.
They knew there was a dead guy in there. It's not good. And, oh, I can't believe it's the end. But yeah, he raises Lazarus with a loud call. This is cool. He says it and it's done.
Lazarus, you know, come out.
Come out. Just like the universe was created through the spoken word, Lazarus is raised. You know, he shouts against death and calls him by name.
And he calls each one of us.
Amen.
Come out. Phil, come out. Steve, come out.
Woo.
And he calls you.
Amen.
Come out.
Woo.
So.
Yeah. He doesn't tell Lazarus, come to life. He says, come out.
Exactly.
Woo. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you hear God's voice and answer the call of come out. Have an awesome week, everyone. God bless.
Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant made, a hand raised in faith that God himself would...
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.